Welcome to another Ask the Experts event, a seminar by telephone in the comfort of your home. These second Thursday events are sponsored by Energy Medicine Foundation, a nonprofit dedicated to education and research in the exciting field of energy medicine. This is Carol Kepler, your host for the next hour. So put your phones on speaker, lean back, and enjoy. We think you'll find the information tonight intriguing, to say the least. Why do I say that? Because energy medicine is still a bit mysterious to most of us. To take some of the mystery out of it, we've invited Dr. Melinda Connor to be our expert tonight. Dr. Connor, are you with us?
I am indeed.
We are certainly pleased to have you, and thank you for being here. We need your help desperately. Energy medicine is new to many of our listeners, so we may need to have to start at the beginning for them. But first, the $64 question. What makes you an expert in energy medicine? Don't you like that one?
Oh, my. What makes me an expert? I'm not sure anyone really truly is yet.
You know, I probably can understand that because it seems to me even the quantum physicists aren't quite understanding it. Is that true?
Yes.
It's wild.
Everybody is still at the stage where we're groping in the dark. 200 years from now, 300 years from now, we'll know a whole lot more than we do now.
Oh, super.
But in terms of energy medicine's existence, obviously, that's how we kept people alive before there was Western medicine. So energy medicine and herbal work, things like that, have been around for, you know, hundreds and hundreds and thousands of years.
Eons.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Actually.
Potentially as long as we've been in body.
Mm-hmm.
So the process of expert I always dance with, I have been a healer in professional practice since the 1980s. I was fortunate in that I grew up with grandmothers who did the energy work.
Tell me about that. Work. That's fascinating.
Oh, well, I had a very eclectic upbringing, actually. My one grandmother on one side had been trained to be a chatelaine of major estates in Europe, and as such had been trained to support the community that was on the particular estate. My grandmother on the other side was Native American and had learned those techniques from her mother and passed them down. And I actually learned those techniques largely through an aunt. And so it was kind of eclectic. And then it passed on to the next generation. My mother was precognitive and consistently saw things happening before they did, and usually 3-4 months ahead of time. And my father was psychometric. In fact, he founded the whole field of highway safety in this country, got Ralph Nader started with his book, Safe at Any Speed, because my father could talk to the cars and then developed the science to go with that.
Well, I can understand why you are called an expert in the field. And then
well,
you
I think the expert comes from the science piece that I've learned.
Yes, but and then that's a really good beginning. And then where did that lead you?
Well, it led me to frustration.
Great.
I was doing the energy work, and what I found out was that what I was seeing on my table wasn't what was showing up in the scientific literature, and it didn't make any sense to me, with competent scientists, why there was such a disconnect. Mm-hmm. What I've learned since then, as I've trained as a scientist over the years, was that unless you become competent within the field that you're testing, you don't know enough about the field to correctly test the field. So what you think you're testing is not what you're testing. And you may not even know enough to be able to distinguish between what the correct test should be and how the correct test should be done to find out where the truth lies.
I will have to think about that a little while before I understand it.
Well, people always assume that scientists, you know everything there is to know, and competence in one field extrapolates to another, but it doesn't. So it's very, very important that you learn the field that you're involved in science.
And it sounds to me like you're saying you become the field.
Yes. You have to learn the techniques. You have to learn the processes involved. You have to learn the thinking behind it. And then you go and develop an experiment which competently tests for what's going on. So you find out where the distortions are and where the truth is.
And you have been doing that at University of Arizona?
That's correct. I'm very, very fortunate. I've been part of the team at the Laboratory for Advances in Consciousness and Health, and I get a chance to work with some amazing, amazing people, Dr. Gary Schwartz, Dr. Iris Bell, Dr. Ann Baldwin, just phenomenally competent individuals, you know, multi degrees, years and years of training and wisdom, very fine papers published. It's just been a delicious experience.
And you have been there 3 years and are planning on staying?
Actually, I have been there now a total of six because I started into the program when I was working. I came over to do postdoctoral research with Dr. Andrew Weil's group at the program in integrative medicine. And I was very fortunate. I was sponsored by the National Institutes of Health as a T32 fellow studying complementary and alternative medicine research. And I had an opportunity to work with both groups during those first 3 years.
Well, that, I would say, all of that together would make you almost an expert. I know you don't want to.
Occasionally competent.
I could, yes. I could hear that you don't. You're very humble, and we don't want to claim the title of expert. But I don't know a whole lot of people who know more about it than you do. And you've been here and taking a look at what we do here at Alt Waters, and along with Dr. Rustin Roy, who is a friend and a mentor of yours. You've been working with him for a long time.
I'm deeply grateful. Dr. Rustin Roy is a professor emeritus from Penn State, and when I was very early in my research training, he was kind enough to take under his wing this very lost human being. And I've just learned a tremendous amount from him. I hope that, you know, 30 years from now, I'll have remotely the same level of competence. He's so wise.
Remotely. he has been very kind to us, too, and has been testing the Altwater energy medicine formulas for the past 2 years for us, and has just finished that project, and has another wonderful project online, and that is his peer-reviewed journal. So can you tell us just a wee bit about that, and then we'll get into our questions, because this is something that I think he's the first one to do.
Well, there are a number of peer-reviewed journals in and around the alternative medicine community.
I didn't know that.
Journal for Complementary and Alternative Medicine, for example, the International Journal of Healing and Caring Online, the journal which is published by the International Society for the Study of Subtle Energies and Energy Medicine are just a few of those.
I love that. Why is his special?
His is special because he's looking at single case studies. And he has a really exciting idea, and that's if one person can do it, other people can too. And if you think about that from a sports perspective, you know, you get someone who can do the
3 minute mile, or was it 1 minute
mile? Yes, and it keeps the 4 minute mile and keeps reducing the number of seconds.
Of course,
the very fine swimmers that keep improving and improving.
Of course,
so that the same kind of process is involved here. If we know what the outside capacity of the human is, what the human being is capable of, then we can help learn the science to move people in a way so that we can teach them how to support the health of their body, how to support the wisdom in their life, so that we can help them develop to their full capacity as a human.
Isn't this exciting? This
is
so, what a beautiful concept. In other words, the little girl that cleared HIV/AIDS 6 years old in 7 days with a 7-day formula that that works with 17 different diseases. Well, there's a lot of sevens in there. I'm just realizing that. Whoa. And if she can do it, then others can do this.
We don't.
Is that what Dr. Roy is saying?
To know what the human is capable of.
Mm-hmm.
We don't even begin to know. So it's very, very exciting. You know, there. It may be that it's divine intervention. You know,
well, that's okay.
Cases.
I'll accept that one.
Absolutely. And it may be that it's something much more fundamental. It's the longing of the individual person's heart.
Of course, and the power of intention and all of those good things.
So there are many, many options. We don't know how the universe is woven yet to every degree. We don't know all of the waves that are present in the universe. We don't know, even begin to know, how to fully test those things. So as we're starting the process, you know, we're kind of dipping a toe in at a time into the water and seeing what's there and what's present.
And we're learning by the seat of our pants.
Sometimes.
So to speak. Well, we have some people who have questions. I know there are a lot of people online that did not leave questions. And it's probably because when we don't know a whole lot or understand a lot about anything or about something, that we don't know what to ask. And so I hope tonight that we're able to answer a lot of questions beyond those that have been written in. And I think you've already done some of that already. Thank you. Thank you. Okay, here's our first question, which sounds like it's from someone who knows something. It says, please explain the difference between veritable energy medicine and putative energy medicine. Am I saying that right?
Uh-huh.
Putative energy medicine. Never heard that word before.
Actually, it turns out that the National Center for Complementary and Alternative Medicine has a definition for that process. And what they did was they separated energy medicine out into two basic kind of categories. They did one group that people were theorizing. We think it works like this. We feel that it works like this. We hope that it works like that. Those are known as the putative energy medicine ideas. And then we've got a group of energy things that are done by devices, for example, that use electromagnetism or straight magnets or very physicalized processes that are well understood in terms of science. Those are the veritable, they're verifiable processes within the energy therapies.
And there are a lot of devices now.
There are lots of devices, there are lots of different healing styles, there are mm-hmm. lots of different types of healing. You know, we have everything from breath work and meditation, mind-body work, acupuncture, acupressure, things like energy psychology, where tapping techniques are being utilized. We have things like chiropractic work, homeopathy, and all of those can come under the umbrella in their various aspects of the energy medicine work.
That's actual energy medicine work that is verifiable, the veritable energy medicine. And last night I was teaching a group, and there was a woman there who does Egyptian energy work.
Yes.
And I had never heard of that before.
There's some lovely research that has been done, for example, looking at Egyptian healing rods.
And yes.
Is theorized to be Egyptian healing
yes.
rods.
Now, I had heard of that. She doesn't use those. And I asked her how she learned to do that, and she said, I don't know. She said it was just given to me.
Well, there are all sorts of folks that are doing various forms of channeled healing,
uh-huh.
or symbolic healing, that are doing things that are passed to them in a flash of insight or
mm-hmm.
a transformational or mystic experience type moment. There's a very, very broad range. We're just even beginning to be able to quantify different groups of types of energy healing that are out there.
Are they putting together all of the different types? I mean, you've mentioned a lot, and I've heard of a lot more. It's like there is no end to it.
Well, right now, it's blossoming, and it's a process of exploration. People are actively discovering. We don't know enough about how to test to really portion things well. You know, if you come to the average scientist and you say, what is energy, when you're talking about energy medicine, it's the amount of force to produce healing. Well, how many healers do you know that say that their energy work comes from force? So there's a huge split at this point, truly defining what is energy. It's easier if you think of energy in terms of a biofield and the field that's produced by the physical body. And part of that process are the frequencies, which are often translated as the energies, that the body is giving off. So, for example, if you use a SQID, a super quantum interference detector, which measures very, very small magnetic fields, and you measure the organs of the body, their magnetic field extends past the surface of the body. Now, that's hard science research that's been done. Actually, the bulk of it was done at University of Colorado, and then more of it was done in Romania. So you can have very practical things like that, things like your skin is breathing. So you're breathing in oxygen through your skin, and you're exhaling out various gases. You're sweating things out. Various kinds of solid waste can be sweat out through the skin, particle waste. So there's an interactive process of those frequencies, for example, of the gases that are being emitted by your skin. And all of those things come together to create this biofield that's around you.
And this is all veritable energy medicine, all that you have just mentioned.
All of those things are verifiable, yes.
And so the machines, the devices that are out today that people love, you know, our techie Americans, maybe it's worldwide, I don't know. Do you know anything about any of the devices? I'm thinking of the Vibe machine, which I think is an older piece, the QXCI, the SCIO, the OnDemand, which I think is newer, the Energy Enhancement System. Those are the ones that that come to mind. Do you know anything about those? Those would be verifiable, would they not?
Yes and no. Actually, one of the experts in the field would be James Oshman. He's written fairly extensively on many of the devices. I know he's actively involved in the testing of the OnDemand device.
Yes.
So the devices are not my particular area of expertise, though I have had some contact with them. The Vibe machine in particular is very interesting because in October of last year, October of 2008, the FDA actually issued a Class 1 recall of the device.
For why?
You would have to ask the FDA the specifics.
Well, it's kind of like the little black box?
No, the electrical current is run through various gases and produces frequency offset, but a number of those gases are not as directly supportive to the physical form, and it may be that there's some problem with emission of the gas. I don't know.
I'm muscle testing right now, and I'm getting there isn't a problem. Is there a problem? No. But, of course, who could prove that?
Well, the FDA can prove it.
Of course.
So
what can I say?
That's something that's verifiable. They couldn't take action if they did not have research to back that action.
Mm. So then now, people would have been damaged by it.
The best thing to do would be go out, if someone is interested in that particular device, to go out to the FDA website and read the information that's available, and also go to the main website where the Vibe machines are sold. I'm sure that the various companies that have been in place have statements that are available for the public to read so that people get a balanced view of the information that's out there. On the quantum biofeedback devices, I actually was invited by some of the folks from the American Association of Psychophysiology and Biofeedback to do a review of the devices, and I did a basic review. I have not had an opportunity to test the quantum biofeedback devices that you mentioned, the QXVI and the SDUI and
TTFX.
Yeah, there are quite a number of them.
I'm confused.
At this time, I should probably qualify with my own research. When you look at a single human cell, and it's actually one of my pet peeves in the field, people will often say, what frequency are you running? Well, the answer is there are hundreds and potentially millions and maybe even billions of frequencies coming off of a single cell at any given moment in time.
I'm getting that's true.
So in to say just one frequency will do a particular thing is naive in the extreme. And a number of these devices make some very specific, very interesting claims. I'm actually going to pull up the document briefly where I listed some of those claims, and I want to talk about that just a little
bit.
The first one is that the quantum biofeedback devices balance the chakras. Okay, so let's talk about that very, very specifically. What's a chakra? Well, a chakra is a torsioned electromagnetic field which is created by your nervous system. You have nerve plexes that line up along the midline of the body, the center line of the body. And nerves in your body don't all fire at once, don't all fire in the same intensity, don't all carry the same charge. And because of that, and there are different numbers of nerve endings in each one of those nerve plexes that are along that big midline of the body. And that's where chakras are talked about most often. Actually, any place you have a nerve plexi, you, large or small, you can have one of those torsion fields. Those torsion fields are produced by the nervous system. And since, your kidney may fire at a different speed than your liver, and your heart is going to be firing, your heart nerve plexi is going to be firing differently than your pelvis nerve plexi, one, because there's a different number of nerves, and two, because of the frequency of usage and the interaction with the body parts. They're different sizes. So, and they're constantly changing. There's a corresponding discussion that actually happens not so much in the device field, but within the laying on of hands energy medicine community, that is, a chakra is open or it's closed. That's also not true. The nerve plexi is firing, and the torsion field exists if the nerve plexis are firing. If you shut down the nerve plexi, then there's no chakra.
Wow,
it goes away. If the only part of the nerve, the plexi, is firing, there still will be a spin. It works similarly to a whirlpool in water. And you may have small eddies where one set of nerves is firing much more often and more rapidly and much stronger based on what the body is doing at that moment. So you can get static charge, you can get magnetic charge in that, which kind of, if you've ever seen a whirlpool, looks like a leaf riding on the whirlpool, and it just stays stuck in that whirlpool and goes around and around and around. So you can get stuff like that there. And that may block the current flow and the free flow of the electromagnetic current through the body. But that's not closed versus open. All chakras that where nerve plexis are firing are moving, and moving energy both in and out at the same time.
How did you get so smart?
I stuck lots of meters in people's nerve plexis in front of them. Really? We did work with gamma and X-ray detectors, biophoton imaging, triaxial extra low frequency magnetic field meters, high frequency meters. We've done lots and lots of looking at this. It's a very important piece.
Going back to, just for a moment, going back to the putative.
Yes.
Tell me again what the difference is between what you've just been talking about and the putative. Am I saying it right?
Well, what exists you can prove and what you can't. So,
oh, okay.
For example, as a clairvoyant, if I look at somebody's field, I see a lateral pulse that comes out from the heart center that moves longitudinally from away from the body. That's a different pulse than one would normally measure from the body front and back, say in an electrical wave. We don't have a way to measure those things yet. If you see in non-normal frequency ranges or hear in non-normal frequency ranges, you can hear some of those things or see some of those things. But science has not caught up technologically to the point that we can actively and adequately look at what the body is doing in total.
Except in a very physical way.
Yes, we're just infants in this process.
What do you think it's going to take for us to get there? Another 300 years.
Well, funding to start.
Funding. Mm-hmm. There's not much of that available.
People are interested in doing research in the field and getting competent and careful training. You want to have folks that have a passion for the work because research is very detailed, very comprehensive, very time-consuming. And you have to become picayune, I think. Really, really careful that you're doing everything exactly the same way and doing it really, really accurately.
I will bet these will be the indigos, the indigo children. They're so bright, and it just seems to me that they're going to be the ones that are going to want to do this kind of work. And there's surely a lot of them around now, coming through now. So I've been working with energy medicine here for nearly 17 years and developing water-based formulas, imprinted with frequencies of herbs and other naturals. Where do those fit? Do those fit with verifiable?
Absolutely. And that testing is just really starting to be done, but there have been some landmark works that's been done. Actually, Dr. Rustam Roy, Dr. William Tiller, and Dr. Iris Bell did a landmark paper in 2005, and it's in the Journal of Material Science in December of 2005, where they were able to demonstrate that the physical structure, molecular structure of the water is different between different homeopathic formularies. And they've continued to do testing in that area. Dr. Manju Ray is doing a great deal of testing in that area. Very, very fine work. So what we're finding out is that water isn't just water, and that water can cluster, and water can stick together differently, and water can do what's called epitaxy, forming to a particular pre-existing solvent in their environment. So water can do lots and lots of really, really cool things that we had no idea it could do. And because of that, it's one of the perfect vectors for the body. The body is mostly water. Your DNA molecules are held together by water. Your cell walls are held together by water. Your blood is held together by water.
And people don't drink enough water.
That's very true.
I think it was Batman Galij that said, Dr. Batman Galij, that said in his, he's written many books, of course, but I'm thinking of his first book, Your Body's Many Cries for Water, that if you have anything in the water, including if it's, you know, or if it's a liquid but not pure water, juice or whatever, that it doesn't do the same job as water in your body, in which he called free water. Does that make sense?
It does.
He said you need to have free water, not fluids, not liquids, but free water in order for the cells to repair, because he said the cells have harmonic electric frequencies, but they, in order to amp hydroelectric energy for self-repair, they needed the water to get in. So he had people drinking gallons of water.
Well, you have to have enough in the body that's wet to be able to move things around.
So all of these people who don't drink water, and of course that's not in Arizona, drink lots of water, because nothing else really quenches the thirst that this sun does for us. But so would you say that makes sense, that you really have to have water with nothing in it, not even a squeeze of lemon, which would make it go through the digestive tract as opposed to going directly to the cells? What do I know?
I think a better person to answer that question might be someone like Dr. Roy, Dr. Bell,
I will
Dr. Hiller, or Dr. Ann Baldwin, who's a physiologist.
Mm-hmm. That seems pretty important.
I've done a lot of looking at water and memory, but in terms of cell health, you really need a physiologist or a biologist to answer that.
That's true. I see that the next question is important, but maybe important because it's one that's asked so often. But let me just take a little break here. We're halfway through the show. We only have 30 minutes left. Let me take a little break here and stop for a moment. Just remind you that Ask the Experts is an educational event targeted to those who are searching for answers for their health issues that are more natural and safer than most Western medicine can do for them. Energy Medicine Foundation is our sponsor, and so you can visit us online at energymedicinefoundation.org and learn about our April conference at that spot, too. So on with the show. Our expert tonight, Dr. Melinda Connor, an energy researcher, answering the questions left by our listeners. Okay, let's keep on going here.
Actually, before we do that, I would like to share, you have the upcoming conference for the Energy Medicine Foundation. We also have conferences, for example, for the International Society of the Subtle Energies in Energy Medicine. We have a research day coming up, so if you're passionate about this research, take a look at the isom.org website, and you can find more about the research that's available and come and join us for a research day.
And you are part of that organization.
Absolutely. And we have an association for research in music medicine, because what is music but frequency?
Unbelievable.
And they have a conference in the September time frame. So that's another place that folks, if they're interested in this area, can take a look at the research that's available, find out where the truth is, what's known, what isn't known, what supposition, and go from there.
And I need to say that if all of the people who are listening need to tell their friends that if they would like to hear Dr. Melinda Connor speak, you are going to be speaking at the conference the first day. And what are we talking about? We're talking about doctors who dare think out of the box. And you're a PhD doctor, and you certainly do think out of the box, Melinda Connor.
Actually, I was very traditionally trained, you know, as a clinical psychologist and a neuropsychologist before I started to do the CAM research work.
But you were pre-trained by your grandparents.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
And grandmothers always take the leading role.
I know that's true. The topic you're speaking of?
I'm going to be talking about some of our research on water as a component of the cell, what water is able to do in terms of storage of memory. It's fascinating what we've discovered. It's actually very, very exciting.
And I love your title. Go for it.
Oh, it's a Dancing in the Rain. Water is a component of the cell.
Yes. And there's so much to that. And I'm so glad that you're going to be sharing that with us. And that's on April 17th. Coming up on a Friday in about a month. So we will be getting more information out about that so our people can come and hear all of the good things you have to say about water. Okay, the next question is it was given to us in lots of different ways. It was about healing energy from natural sources that are overlooked. And the ones that came to mind as they were giving us this, asking us these questions, was the sun and food, and how else can we get energy into our body? Can you address that one?
Well, the very first way is to breathe.
Very good. And there is a
to drink water, because you have to have breath and water to have the hydrogen oxygen burn, which powers your body system.
That's beautiful. And the breathing, we are going to have Alma Estefano, who is a Kriya Yoga person at both conferences, working with people on breathing after lunch on both days.
It's very exciting. In 2006, I was fortunate to be part of a conference for the Better Health Campaign that was conducted in Washington, D.C. And part of a panel at that conference. And one of the things that we actually discussed was the fact, when you think biologically about how a cell powers itself,
Beautiful word.
About ATP,
mm-hmm.
adenine triphosphate, that, you know, is the power molecule which the cell uses. Well, the only problem with that being the process that powers the body is that it would have to happen at faster than light speeds to burn enough to keep your body alive.
So tell me about that one.
So the question is, what else could be powering your body? And the whole question of that hydrogen-oxygen burn, breathing and having enough water on board, may play a very important role. There is evidence which has been discovered that seawater, when hit with radio waves, will actually burn.
That's work
John
that
Canzius and Dr. Roy verified the work, discovered that the seawater, when hit with radio waves, would actually burn. Well,
who needs oil?
Very similar to seawater in terms of our body composition. So it may be that part of that process is involved in the mechanism of keeping your body healthy.
And the work that has been done over the years by Dr. Gabriel Cousins.
Yes.
And the term he used was SOEFS, S-O-E-F-S, subtle organized energy field that food should have in it in order for it to actually feed the body and not just be calories, but actually be the energy for the body to run itself on and to repair itself. I thought that was fascinating information. And we don't get that, so we're not getting much energy from our food these days at all. Lots of calories, but not much energy.
You know, just on a personal note, I did a voyage of discovery. My sister-in-law several years ago became very, very ill and moved to eating a very organic diet in the process of attempting to heal.
Mm-hmm.
And I started to do the same thing as we discussed it. And I found that when I ate food that was grown in a very healthy way, that was very vibrant, so that I could almost feel it when I would pick the food up, my body responded better. Now, that's not to say that there aren't very important things that certain kinds of pesticides do. We would be able to feed the world
right.
with the population that we have if we didn't use good common sense about managing our food supplies. But there has to be a balance in the form so that the food you're eating is vital enough and supportive enough of the body to really feed it.
And if it really feeds it, you don't need as much of it, I noticed.
I don't know. I can't do without chocolate mousse.
Shame on you.
I know.
And that probably came from your grandmother's, too.
Yes, actually, it was from Monty.
See, I remember. But it is true. If there are no frequencies there, and only carbohydrates, calories, then we have to eat more and more and more to feel satisfied. And so that may be some of the overweight problems that we have these days. There's not any real food with energy, any real food. I think is what Dr. Gabriel Cousins calls it, real food and fake foods. So that's a thought. There's energy again. So you said breathing, water, sunlight, and actually you can set out a quart of water in the sun in a clear container, and the sun's energy, I understand, is collected in the water, and you can drink it during the day. How neat is that?
That sounds very exciting. I've never tried that.
We've been doing it for a long time. And so sun's energy, people are rather frightened of the sun these days. And so they try to stay out of it as much as possible, it looks to me. And so we need to remind them that the sun is healing to the body. This is all exciting work. We had some other interesting questions here. Let's see what we can do with this one. If I breathe in a chemical, smoke, perfume, etc., I instantly get a sinus infection. How can I clear this situation up? I don't know if that's the kind of work you do.
Well, as a psychologist, maybe, maybe not.
Go.
There are lots of different reasons that people have a breakdown in and a response to various kinds of stimuli in their physical environment. And it may be something, for example, like they're having an allergic reaction. It may be that there's a breakdown in their autoimmune system over time, that they've been, for example, exposed to significant radiation levels or something like that. And the body autoimmune system is depressed, so it's very, very sensitive. It may be that they have chemical sensitivity that's been developed because of, for example, significant pesticides that are no longer on the market. There were a number of people who had difficulties that way. You can also have things like that as a result of a stress reaction. You can be going through a very, very difficult time in your life, and the body's immune system is breaking down. There are lots of ways to clear it up. You can do things like chiropractic and homeopathy, acupuncture to detox, and actually there's some lovely ways that you can utilize both acupuncture and chiropractic work and allergy testing and allergy detox work together so that you're able to clear your allergies.
And you forgot to say water-based energy medicine formulas.
Oh, absolutely. Homeopathy, any of the water-based formulas can be very, very significant in that process.
And it's
changing
easy.
Your physical environment so that your body is not stressed by chemical stressors, changing your physical environment so that instead of going to work and driving 2.5 hours in the car each day, you are driving 20 minutes in the car each day, and you get a chance to get out and run, which is strengthening your body every day.
I think that some of our people are speaking on the second day, which is first day is of the conference on April 17th, is Doctors Who Think Out of the Box. The second day, though, is Energy Healers Blaze the Trail, Energy, Holistic Healers Blaze the Trail. And I think they are looking at root cause, finding the root cause of the problem instead of band-aiding it, which, of course, everybody has been doing a whole lot of over the years. And so you all need to come to the conference and hear about how to find root cause, and because a lot of people have this problem. Here's another one. How can I use your energy principles to accelerate my having the white light of the Holy Spirit release any negativity, hence pain, from previous incarnations or this incarnation? I really need some relief. It says I'm a Zohar. I don't know if you know about Zohars, but they're kind of like indigos, only more so.
I was kind of interested. Zohar actually is the mystic Kabbalah texts.
I realize that. Yes, I know very little about that.
As you were saying that, I'm surprised that somebody's calling themselves by that particular name. I would assume that means that they are based in the tradition of studying the Kabbalistic texts.
Actually, no. We found a group of people several years back that we called Zohars, and it was from the book Keys of Enoch, They're Beings of Light. They just have been allergic or sick, you know, everything wrong with them, everything breaking down, and no one has been able to get them well. if we had not been working with them over these years, and at first we didn't recognize these special people, we wouldn't be this far in putting frequencies into the energy formulas that we use, that we design. We have over 9,000 frequencies programmed into the Altwaters formulas that we have. So we called them Zohar. So this must be from one of our people.
Ah,
yeah.
Okay.
And so,
I think you've answered it very, very well.
Yeah, she has. So she's wondering about, and I think you know this. Don't you work with white light of the Holy Spirit? Are you not doing something really special with that? I'm trying to think what the name of it is. You told me that you have worked with.
There are all sorts of different. I hate to limit myself to one
yes.
form.
In your therapy, because you do therapeutic work.
Yes, I do a lot.
What is your therapy? Therapeutic work that you do, you actually have a practice.
Actually, I've been trained in over 20 different energy medicine disciplines.
Oh, wow.
of various kinds of labels. Uh-huh. And
isn't there something that works with the white light?
Lots and lots and lots more, mm-hmm. depending on what the person needed at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
So it's one of those kinds of things where often things come in. White light can be used in lots of different ways.
It was universal.
Universal White Time Healing?
Yes.
There is a group of folks that are doing energy work under that label.
Yes.
And I've never had an opportunity to test them in the lab, so I can't say anything about whether it's really good or not.
I'm getting it's good. On a scale of negative 10 to positive 10, it's a positive 10. How about
that? That's lovely.
Ask and you shall receive.
But there's lots of different white light type of techniques. You can breathe in white light. You can run white light. You can absorb white light through the top of the head. You can run it in a circular current, through each one of the chakras in sequence. So there's lots and lots of different types of ways to connect. The start, obviously, is with the physical form when you go to do a healing process. You want to look at your lifestyle components, your stress components, your thought components. Are you mastering your mind? Do you have space enough for yourself during your day? Things like that. And then you look at your physiological stresses. It's very wise to have a physician on board for that process and get information from as many. You don't want to throw the baby out with the bathwater. A lot of mm-hmm. folks who are working within the energy medicine community have a tendency to ignore Western medicine. It can be useful.
It's called integrative medicine, complementary medicine.
Absolutely.
Our Bert Goldberg is going to be speaking about that at the conference.
It's very, very important work.
Mm-hmm.
And so you need to take advantage of everything that the road will bear so that you try all of the different options which are available, because people aren't built in just one form. Each one of us is unique. And what works with one person may not work at all with another person.
That's
because
true.
Their body form is unique. So it's very, very important to do that. Now, in terms of working with different kinds of pain and different kinds of chronic pain, obviously, looking at structural kinds of things are very, very important. Much of chronic pain can be tied into physical patterning of the body. For example, a few years ago, I had injured my back, and I kept trying to get better and kept trying to get better, and I did all sorts of energy work on it, and I kept re-injuring. And I finally determined that it was the form of the seat of my car, which was taking my pelvis, moving it out of alignment, and not allowing the body to heal in the way that it needed to completely so that I didn't re-injure. So
that's
you can have very practical components mm-hmm. like that that are involved in the healing process that need to be present.
Wow, that was a big one. It must have been intuited. Because how would you guess that one?
Actually, it was a gift from my daughter. She looked at me and she said, you know, you're always tweaky when you get out of the car.
There's the good Lord gets us information. However it gets to us, it doesn't matter, does it?
out of the mouths of teenagers.
I love it. Here's one. What is the best way to help a man who has been diagnosed with a personality disorder that is affecting his relationship with his younger daughter and keeping him from realizing his full potential? Is that an energy question?
It can be.
Okay.
Actually, I would start with the physiological, and there are lots and lots of psychiatrists and psychologists who would hate me for what I'm about to say.
Go for it.
There are only really half a dozen to a dozen medications on the market which support the health and healing for various kinds of mental illness. But more and more, as we're looking at the body systems, we're finding that various kinds of mental illness have a physiological trigger. For example, nerve endings that should be covered may not be covered at the top of the brain. For example, ventricles, blood vessels, which are in the brain, may be too large instead of the right size. For example, there may be scarring on a section of the brain, which happened through no one's fault and just random acts of things that happen. Which can affect the personality and the structure. Now, obviously, the place to start is with really solid information. So I always ask folks that come to me for treatment of various kinds of mental illness, if it's a significant mental illness, to please go get a set of PET images. There are a number of very, very fine radiological programs around the country. I personally recommend that people use Dr. Daniel Amen's program. He does a very fine job, and he's one of the pioneers in the field. So I've referred quite a number of people to him and have been very pleased with the results. But there are many fine practitioners doing this research work and doing the imaging work around the country. Once you have hard data, you have real facts about how the brain is structured, then you can start to make choices. Are Western meds the right thing? Maybe. Is talk therapy the right thing? Maybe. Maybe energy psychology is the right thing. Maybe what you need is for your surgeon to work with you and develop a surgical technique that's never been invented before. You know, we're just really starting to look at the brain as an organ that can have some repair work done.
It is
that's more traditional, mm-hmm. like a gallbladder kind of surgery.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Or vascular surgery on your hand. It's less common to have vascular surgery on your brain. So there are many different kinds of options once you start from that place. Homeopathy can be very, very effective in supporting someone who's in the process of resolving mental illness. And actually, light plays a tremendous factor. If you're inside, for example, and you're working long hours, so in the winter, for example, mm-hmm. in the Midwest or in the North,
mm-hmm.
Where it's cold and dark,
mm-hmm.
you know, at 7 o'clock and 8 o'clock in the morning.
And it's so bad.
You're going to work in the dark, and you work until 6 o'clock. It's already dark
That's
when
true.
You're going home. And you work through the day, and you don't get out for lunch, and you're in a cubicle and not
mm-hmm.
next to a window.
Mm-hmm.
You never see the light.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there can be very significant repercussions from the fact that you're not getting enough light. And actually, some very exciting work was done for NASA a number of years ago. One of the lovely kept secrets in the NASA program was that for a while, when they sent astronauts up into space until they learned this, astronauts would be very, very well trained and would be several days in space and would have trouble coordinating their movements. They knew what to do, mm-hmm. but they couldn't make their body respond correctly. And so NASA went hunting for what the problem was, and it turned out that human beings need certain frequencies of blue light, both visible and non-visible. And it was critical to the brain and the body, the nervous system, being able to work and work well.
So where do we get blue light?
Actually, we're fortunate today. Places even like Home Depot and Target, Kmart, sell lights that have full-spectrum lighting or have close-to-natural
okay.
light.
I thought you were telling us we had to shop at those stores.
No.
Oh, good.
No. You can find things relatively reasonably. Initially, when the full-spectrum lighting work came out, it was very, very expensive. It was, you know, $1,000 or more to get a single bulb that had full-spectrum lighting. But the costs have come down over the last 10 years. And you can get the products. They may not be as comprehensive and complete as these more expensive products, but they will have a broader range of frequencies available.
Wow, you certainly did a good job on that question, as you have done on all of them. I was just thinking that twice recently on the Oprah Winfrey Show, Dr. Mehmet Oz, who is a favorite of hers on the show, is a cardiac surgeon, and he said these words, and I heard him say it twice. Once last year, once this year, just happened to be listening. He said the new medicine is energy medicine because we're all energy. And Dr. Oz seems to be telling us that energy medicine is future medicine. What do you think about that?
Well, Mehmet is a very wise man, and he is one of the first people who brought an energy medicine practitioner into a hospital setting and into the operating room.
I know that. Is that not exciting?
And did very, very exciting work in support of the health and healing with folks. And there actually is some very nice clinical research studies that have been done. For example, Healing Touch International on their website has a list of over 80 clinical studies that have been done. And these are controlled, competently done, peer-reviewed journaled articles that have been published with energy medicine as one of the components, looking at the capacity for clinical healing, clinical resolution of various kinds of physiological problems. The body is frequency in coalescence.
Say that again.
We're frequency in coalescence. We are waves. We operate at lots and lots of frequencies. And I think that we're a precipitate. The body gets thicker waves and thicker waves and thicker waves and thicker waves until we actually get physical tissue formed. And if you have the right complement of frequencies available for a particular set of tissues and can get that set of waves to where it needs to go, the body can heal.
You are doing some research. You're starting some research projects right now. Do you want to just kick off what you think you're going to be doing? I don't know if you've gotten started on it yet, but I know you have lots of good plans.
Well, we've had lots and lots of research that's been ongoing. If people are interested looking at the University of Arizona program of research, they can go out to http://ohrp.web.arizona.edu.
And you'll have to buy this CD in order to get that address again. And they're only $10, so give us a call if you need that address. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, it's fine. There are lots of research studies, there are lots of opportunities that we're pursuing at this point. We are continuing to look at the whole question of water as a component in the memory system of the body, for its role and how it may play a factor in how you remember things and how traumas are stored in the body, and whether or not energy can move, frequencies can move freely, magnetic flow can happen freely, electrical flow can happen freely, and maybe waves that we don't know about can happen freely. Lots of research on various kinds of sound frequencies. We're doing a lot of research to basic science to look at whether what an energy medicine practitioner does is actually causing physiological changes in themselves and in the client. It's very, very important to know whether or not your practitioner is real. And so we're starting to have ways, we can't fully test every practitioner yet, but we're starting to have ways that we can start to evaluate that.
That's going to be, I can see how important that's going to be. And we're getting to the end of our hour. I can't believe how fast the time went. And it's been such a pleasure having you with us tonight, Dr. Melinda Connor.
Thank you.
And I can see that you are such an important part of what's going on in the field right now. And we bless you for what you're doing.
It's my pleasure and my passion.
I know it is. And everybody needs to come to the conference, April 17th to 18th. Just give us a call. We'll tell you more about it. Or go online, energymedicinefoundation.org/conference, and find out more about the conference and who's going to be speaking. Dr. Melinda Connor will be speaking the first day, in the back-to-back conferences. The first one is Dr. Sue Think Out of the Box, and that surely is you. So thank you again. And we want to thank our many listeners from Energy Medicine Foundation. We are checking out online. You can check out online energymedicinefoundation.org and find this information. And we'd love to see you there at the conference right here in Phoenix, Arizona. And if you don't have a computer, call us at 800-971-5857. Let me say that again, 800-971-5857, and we'll give you the information. It's time for us now to wrap up the show. This is Carol Kepler, your host, with blessings until we meet again.